Good Wednesday evening, Central Baptist Church friends and family. This is April 15th, and this is the Bible study for Wednesday evening. I do want to encourage you, as always, if you don't have a Bible with you, go grab one. Just a time for Bible study and a time and an opportunity for us to be able to get together. Tonight, I'm coming to you from our youth room at the church. If you'll see our L3 student ministry logo behind me, as well as the L3 website, be sure to check that out if you get a chance, and be a part of all the things that are going on there. Tonight, we're actually going to be looking out of a passage of Mark chapter 14, Mark's gospel in chapter 14. And as you're finding that, I want to kind of ask this question. I want to ask you, what is the most significant or expensive gift that somebody's ever given you? I know a lot of us could probably sit back and we could think back to a Christmas where we received a very special gift from somebody. And when you received that gift, how did that make you feel? What was it that kind of went through your mind as you thought about receiving that gift, as you thought about the person who went to such an extent to do something so great and so incredible for you? We're going to see a bunch of different characters that are going to come out of this passage that we're going to look at in Mark chapter 14. And as we go through them, I want you to kind of listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to you about which one of these characters maybe you would be, and keeping in mind that gift and how it made you feel as we progress through our Bible study today. We're going to look at Mark chapter 14, and we're going to do a little parallel there in the book of John as well. But for right now, Mark chapter 14, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. We're going to take verses 1 through 9. Mark chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. It says, after 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of people. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among them and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do to them. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come before to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the world, this woman, what she has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we ask that you would teach us from your word tonight. Lord, I pray that we would truly be able to hear from the Holy Spirit this evening. Lord, that we might make corrections where the Holy Spirit might point out corrections need to be made. Father, I pray that our worship to you would truly be worthy in your sight. I pray, Father, that we are truly doing our very, very best for you. Help us, Lord, during this time. Again, we just pray that you keep us safe and healthy through this time of pandemic. Lord, to help us to understand what it is that you're trying to teach us in the midst of this time of isolation. Lord, help us to always realize and understand that with you, we're never alone. May we draw close to you during this time. Bless us, bless our church and our families and our time as we'll spend in your word tonight. And Lord, this prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at these passages, we begin to see something interesting that was taking place. In this particular story, there was a woman who came and she gave Jesus a very expensive and a very extraordinary gift. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Jesus has always asked something of us. You know, when we think about our worship and when we think about our gifts to him, not necessarily 100% in a financial way, but when we're talking about our tithe, our time, our talent, what are we doing to use those in a way that's pleasing to the Lord? Let me ask you, what has the Lord done in your life? What has he done special that would call for you to do something for him? Jesus had done something very special and very significant for this lady, and her love for her was something that was something that we can't really express or describe, much like you. Yeah, I've said this so many times in life that often we're quick to judge, but we don't think about what somebody else's story may be. I want you to pause and think about what somebody else's story may be. See, everybody's story with Jesus is different. For some of us, the Lord has done some things that are so incredible. They're miracles or borderline on miracles. He's done things that no man could do, and our heart is eternally grateful. For some of us, the Lord has done incredible things in taking care of our children when maybe they were wayward, and he's blessed us. We've seen him spare maybe an incident where our children were in the hospital or a spouse or a loved one. And our heart is just poured out in gratitude toward him. Here was a lady who had a story of thankfulness to Jesus, and she wanted to worship him in such a way that was going to be extraordinary. She did something extraordinary along the way. You know, from these passages that we read, we see that that she came in and she brought this this alabaster box. And we know what its value is according to the scripture, but I also want to kind of draw your attention to another scripture that gives us a little bit more detail than what we see here in the book of Mark. And that passage actually comes out of the book of John, chapter 12. And it's the first couple of verses of John chapter 12. And it's paralleling this story as one of the gospels. Notice with John chapter 12, verse 1, it says this. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had risen from the dead. There they made him supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Now, it's believed that this is the same story. This is the same encounter. Verse 3 says this, then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Could you imagine the beauty of that act of worship? Could you imagine being able to be there and to be present at that moment? What a beautiful thing. Here comes Mary, who the Lord has done some significant things for. She comes in an act of worship. She takes this very costly ointment, and she anoints the feet of Jesus. Yeah, it says that in this particular passage, in verse 3, it says, and wiped his feet with her hair. That is also something very significant. If you're a part of the church, you've heard me mention this before when we've covered these passages. But for a woman in that time to do that, to let her hair down and to wipe the feet of Jesus, was something that was considered to be a no-no. For her to have done that, it would have been the same thing as her removing her shirt and exposing her breast. So we can see what was taking place. The tears that had come to her eyes, the tears that had fallen on the feet of Jesus, probably unexpected. And as she took her hair and as she dried those tears, maybe because she had nothing else, she was there with everything that she had. And in an act of worship, yes, she anointed the feet of Jesus. You know, today, we all worship in different ways. Let me ask you and challenge you, what is your worship today like? Are you giving Jesus your 100%? Are you giving your all? Not just in your financial area, but that's a good place to start. But remember I said a moment ago, your tithe, but also your time. What about your talent? What about the things that the Lord has given you to be able to use for him? Are you worshiping him with those? Listen, has God given you a voice that is like the angels singing? Well, if he has, are you using it for his honor and glory? Maybe God has given you the ability to be that friendly, smiling face that just shakes a hand and says, hey, we're glad you're here today. Are you using that for his honor, for his glory? Maybe you play an instrument. Are you using that for his honor and glory? You see what I'm getting at. What are the things that God's given you in a way of talent or ability that you can use for him in an act of worship? But you see, this woman's worship was moved beyond just simply attending a service or attending a dinner or being someplace in the presence of Jesus. She was moved beyond speakable words in that act of worship. I can imagine what it was like. We know that the word tells us that when she broke that box of expensive ointment and she began to anoint his feet, it says that the house was filled with the fragrance of that sweet oil. I believe there were probably those that were around that thought how beautiful an act or a moment of worship this was. But we also know that there were those who didn't quite have that attitude. If you're following along in John chapter 12, in verse 4, we read this. It says, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, not only was it just one of the guys that was there, it was one of Jesus' followers, one who had been with him, one who should have known, one who should have understood. Folks, let me tell you, if you've been following Jesus for any amount of time and you are growing in your walk with him, there are a lot of things that we should see. We should have seen this situation as a true act of worship. But oftentimes we can stand or sit in the seat of judgment and stand judgmental towards people. Let's pick back up and see what it was that Judas did. It says, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, verse 4, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? You see, here we begin to understand what a valuable gift that was. This is something that would have been considered a year's pay. Think about you giving a year's worth of your salary or pay in an act of worship towards our Lord and Savior. Now, I'm not asking you to do that, but as the Lord leads, do what you need to do. But this was a very expensive gift. And instead of Judas looking at that and realizing and saying that this was a beautiful act of worship towards our Savior, what do we see him say? Verse 5, he said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Now, that really sounds like a noble cause, doesn't it? That really sounds like something, oh, well, you know what? That was a good idea. If we could have sold that, we could have taken that out, we could have fed the poor folk, we could have had so many ministry opportunities with that 300 denarii. But yet the one thing that Judas missed was this. He missed the act of worship that Mary was pronouncing upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says this. This he said, not that he cared for the poor. Now we begin to see what Judas' real attitude was. Judas wasn't one of those that really was caring about feeding the needy people, although that sounded good. I can just picture what it must have been like. He was sitting there saying, I can't believe Jesus is allowing her to do this. That could have been sold. We could have fed the poor. But in verse 6, it tells us that was not Judas' intent whatsoever. His intent wasn't that it be sold to go out and feed the poor. Let's go to verse 6 again. It says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. See, right here, we begin to understand that Judas was a thief. It says it right here in the Word of God. That's not being judgmental. That's straight from the Word of God. Not only was he a thief, he was also the treasurer of the disciples. And this verse right here tells us that he would pilfer from the till. He would have his hand in the till. So what it was he was kind of upset because Mary didn't sell the precious ointment for the 300 denarii and put it in the treasury that he might be able to have his hand in it. Folks, I think oftentimes we get so accustomed to going through the motions with our Lord and Savior that we leave worship completely out of it. This has been a time where we could sit back and where we could really reflect on our walk with our Lord, when we could really, really reflect on our worship. I've said this many times as folks arrive at our church. I'm like, why are you here today? You know, did you come here because it was something you did habitual? Or is this something that this is just where I normally am on Sunday? Or did you come here to meet with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Did you come here to worship him? You know, now that we haven't had that opportunity for going on a month right now, a lot of folks have said, you know, I really miss gathering with the church family. Well, let me challenge you with this. What is it that you miss about gathering with the church family, besides the fact that we are social beings and we love that interaction? Do you miss worshiping through song? Do you miss having the opportunity to worship in prayer? Do you miss having the opportunity to worship together corporately around the Word of God? Let me ask you, has this time of being outside of the church building and outside the gathering, has it pushed us, has it challenged us in the ways and the modes of our worship for Him? Do we really come and gather at the Lord's house as an act of worship to use the talents and abilities that God has given us that we might further the kingdom of God? I pray that that is the case. But you know, there were many different players that we read in this particular story. We see Mary, whose heart was moved with worship, and regardless of what the cost, regardless of what it may have seemed like on the social level or on the economic level, she was going to worship Jesus regardless. There were those that were present like Judas. Are you like Judas? Are you one of the ones that stands critical over somebody else's worship, no matter what it is? Are you like the crowds that had the privilege to see this precious act go towards Jesus? And are you like the ones that could smell the fragrance of that oil and think how precious and how beautiful that really is? You know, where do you stand in the midst of this story today? You know, when I started off a little while ago, one of the things that I said was this. I said, everybody has a story. Often we will sit back, we will look at somebody, and we will judge them. I hate to use that term, but that's really what it is. We'll judge what they do, how they do, what they say, where they go, what they wear. We may judge many, many things. But you know, oftentimes we don't know what that person's story is. Often we don't know what Jesus has done in their heart and in their life that has moved them to be there in the midst of that worship service today. Often we don't know the heartaches or the pains. Often we don't know what other people have been delivered from. We know what we have been delivered from, but we don't know what somebody else has. And everybody has a story. I want to challenge you today, as we move forward in our lives, as we move forward in worship, for us to understand that everybody's got a story, and it's probably not anything like you and I could ever imagine. But has what Jesus has done in your life moved you to the point that you are ready to worship in such a fashion that cost makes no difference? Not just financially, but like we've said before, with your talents and with your tithe and with many other things. Has it moved you to the point of tears when you think about what God has done in your life and in the life of your family, in the life of your church, the blessings that fall upon us? Count our blessings. Name them one by one. And maybe, just maybe, we will be like Mary at the feet of Jesus. Maybe we will be like Mary, presenting something that is costly to us to sacrifice for the worship of the Savior. Maybe we will be able to smell the sweet fragrance of that act of worship that Mary did for Jesus while she was there in the midst, and while we are having that opportunity to gather. You see, that's what worship is really all about. See, worship, even when we come together corporately, is about you and the Lord. What is it that the Lord wants to speak to you today? Yeah, even if it's by way of technology, even if it's by way of this video, let me make you a promise. God has given us this tool to use during this time. Even if you're watching this video in the privacy of your own home, or if you're driving down the road, whether you're streaming, whatever the situation may be, God has spoken to your heart about something. Because I know this, His Word tells us that His Word does not return void. And He has a message for each and every person, each and every one that has tuned in today. What is it that He has told you about your worship? What is it that He is asking of you? Where do you find yourself in the midst of this story? Do you find yourself like the priest, the ones that were trying to trip Jesus up, the ones that were trying to find a way to prosecute Him and to take His life? Maybe you're like those who had gathered around and you have seen great miracles done. Lazarus was there. Poor old Lazarus. I kind of laugh about Lazarus. Lazarus died. Jesus resurrected him. And then poor old Lazarus had to die again. There were people that were trying to kill him just because he was a part of what Jesus had done. But Lazarus is sitting here at the table. We've read the stories of Mary and Martha. Right here we find out that one of these ladies right here is actually one who's serving. It says that in verse 2, of John chapter 12, there they made Him a supper, and Martha served, and Lazarus was sitting at the table. There were miracles sitting all around. Folks, what are the miracles that are sitting all around in your life? And by the way, they weren't meeting at church. They were at somebody's house. just like you are right now. So you know what? Church is not about the building. It truly is about you and I. And we still have the opportunity to worship Him. We still have the opportunity to praise Him. We still have the opportunity to draw close to Him during this time. And that's what I want to challenge you to do this week. I want to challenge you to read these passages out of Mark chapter 14 and John chapter 12. And I want you to ask yourself where you are. Maybe there's an attitude that you need to change. You know, when you look at these particular situations, you see Mary, this woman. She's an example for us to follow in her way of worship. But as we also look on, we see that there were critics in the crowd. There was Judas. Maybe that's an attitude that we need to change. Folks, let me promise you one thing. A critical mindset and a critical attitude will carry you nowhere when it comes to worship. You know, I just pray and challenge each and every one of us that when we are able to get back together, that we will leave the critical spirit behind, because we can truly be critical of one another. We can be critical of the world around us. We can be critical of how things get done. Let's leave that behind. Let's make that one of the things that dies during the 2020 pandemic, and that is being critical of other people. So I pray that the Lord has taken this story, His biblical passage, and He has allowed you to apply it to your life to find out where you are in this story. Are you a Mary? Are you a Martha? Are you a Lazarus? You know, or are you a Judas? Are you one that's being critical? And I trust and pray that if you find yourself convicted by the Holy Spirit, that you will repent today, that you will turn to Him. And I promise He'll give you a new. You know, and it's going to be like starting all over again when we get a chance to come back. And by the way, if something has pulled you out of church, I would never take anybody away from their church. But if something has caused you to pull away, if you're one of our family members here at Central Baptist, you know what? Every one of us has been gone for a month. When we come back together, I encourage you, come back and be a part of worship in the Lord's house with us. Yeah. In this story, where will you find yourself? Let me close this in a word of prayer. I look forward to seeing you again on Sunday. I'm going to give you an announcement or two, tell you what our passages for next week will be. And we do pray that God's blessing each and every one. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the fact that You call us to worship You. We thank You for the many, many blessings You've given us, for all the things, Lord, that we so often take for granted, where we see Your hand work and move in our lives. God, I pray that as we ponder these particular passages, that we will find ourselves like Mary at Your feet, Lord, with that alabaster box, with something that is costly to us, that shows how much we care and how much we worship. Not that we're trying to get into Your favor, because, Lord, there's nothing we can do that can buy Your favor. But, Lord, we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, Father, I pray that we will truly be found at Your feet. Lord, if there's a spirit of being critical in our life, I pray that You would just work on that You would remove that, do that spiritual surgery and take it away, Father, that we might not have to deal with that anymore. Lord, bring us together in love when we have that opportunity. And until then, Lord, help us to find ways to draw close to You in worship. Let us work on the relationship between us and You right now during this time when we can't come together. May we come back together as stronger individuals, that we might be stronger corporately. So, Father, bless us. Again, we ask that You keep us safe and well and healthy. And, Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you for joining us. Once again, coming to you on this Wednesday, April the 15th, from our youth room, L3 Student Ministries. I do want to go ahead and let you know what your Bible readings for next Wednesday evening's Bible study will be. Next Wednesday, we're actually going to be looking at Luke's Gospel, chapters 2 through 6. So that's Luke's Gospels, chapter 2 through chapter 6. Just read one chapter a day. That's all we're asking you to do. And then our focal passage is actually going to be Luke chapter 4. I will put that up on our Central Baptist Church Facebook page, so that you will be able to kind of go back and look and see those particular passages of study for next week. Once again, we want to remind you to join us on Sundays by the same methods. And I want to encourage you, we do have some virtual Sunday school classes that are going on. We've got four or five of them right now. I'm going to let you know what they are. Kelly Joyce is teaching his class by way of WebEx. Mike Nelson is teaching his class by way of Zoom. Tony Price is teaching his class by way of WebEx. Lori Cole is teaching our middle school students by way of Zoom. And also John Folsom is teaching our high school students. Those meet now. There's a little bit of a time difference on those. Two of our classes meet early. Kelly Joyce's and Tony Price's class meet on Sunday at 9:45 a.m. The rest of those classes meet at 10 a.m. Now, if you want to be a part of that, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Call the church office. Just give us your name, your email, and what class you want to be a part of. These Sunday school teachers will send you an email, which is an invitation, which will have a link that you'll click on at the time their class starts, and then you'll be there and be able to join in. Don't worry if you've not been a part of their class before. Be a part of their class now. What a great, great opportunity it was last week. I joined in two of those classes. I was in Kelly's as well as Mike's. I'm going to try to get around to the others as well myself. And we do want to encourage you to continue to watch for updates through these channels, through our Facebook channels, as well as our website. And we're praying and trusting that God is doing some incredible things right now in this isolation, because God is good. And all the time, God is good. I'll see you Sunday. God bless you.